Here's Ray Ferraro joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Is there pressure on either of these teams tonight, Tampa and or Toronto, to prove themselves this evening?
I don't know. I mean, doesn't it seem a little early for that?
Yeah, like it's October.
I think they'd, Toronto would like to play, I think, a lot like they did the other night. They didn't win, but, man, that game looked pretty good compared to, the shinny that they played the previous game. And for Tampa, things went so great for them last year, and then, of course, they hit that full stop in the playoffs, and I don't know if they look at their team and, and they're almost have the mindset of, yeah, it doesn't really matter what we do now, it's what we do in April, and the problem with that is you got to get to April. And, so you're maybe not as sharp, not as tuned in as you should be, but I don't know if that means pressure. It might mean more focus, which is something they probably could use.
Yeah, Cooper kind of caught himself today. I thought he gave a very appropriate answer. He admitted they're dealing with some scar tissue from a year ago and the burden of what happened. But then he's also, he knows the only way they're going to redeem themselves is in April and May and June.
And the other comment I liked was, we're not defending anything. They're not.
No, they lost in the first round. They were the first team attack. Out.
Yeah.
First team out. 16 made it. They were number one to pack their bags and leave town.
But I mean, just think, though, like, if they won 58 games this year, would you care?
No, of course not.
Right? And so the players hear it and know it, and they're well aware that they're a good team, but you start to look and go, yeah, but it really matters in April. Except that means that, you're assuming that your first 5.5 or 6 or 7 months are going to be much the same, and I think you probably get a little comfortable and thinking you're just going to get to that level instead of forgetting how hard it is to get there.
Any pressure on Frederik Anderson during the regular season?
Well, I think the pressure is that, he's no dummy. I mean, he looks around and you're like, I better win most of my starts.
Exactly.
Right? So that to me would be the pressure. Like there's, it's not like, Tuukka Rask has the comfort of looking over his shoulder and seeing, oh, Jaro Halak's there. He's been a starter in the league. He's been able to carry a team for a long period of time there. I think there's probably some comfort in that. But Anderson wouldn't have that. I mean, there's as much discussion about the backup goalie as there is about the fourth line. I mean, like, it's all important. And in Toronto, there's no luxury.
Well, I feel like he's kind of been sheltered from any of the pressure talk. Freddie Anderson.
Well, the playoff pressure talk for sure.
Yeah, like he didn't perform in Game 7.
No.
And it was immediately on to, okay, well, what's up with Mitch Marner? And, hey, Babcock better figure it out here. And what are they going to do with the captaincy? And it's like, which is a good thing for him. It's a very good thing for him. Because you want him to just, if you're the team, stay out of the way, go out there and perform, get your 60 starts. But,
Yeah, when as you say it that way, I don't think that, like you say, is there any pressure there? I think the pressure would be, while it's not been from the media, like internally, I think there's got to be pressure. Like, without ever being discussed, I mean, the whole thing is about, when you look at Toronto's goaltending, it's one guy. And the only real question is, assuming he's healthy the whole year, is how many games is he going to play? It's not how many games is the other guy going to take from him. It's going to be how many games is he going to play.
Do you think that's the right strategy? Like, I've always kind of thought maybe it would be good to have someone to push him, but maybe they think his personality is not suited to that. Maybe they don't think they should invest the money. Maybe they can invest the money. What do you think, Ray?
Well, I think it's the second thing. Jonas, I think they'd love to have a guy that they know can give him a little bit of a push, or somebody if he needs 2 weeks off that, to work with the goalie coaches or 10 days or whatever, get some good practices in. They'd like to have the comfort to say, yeah, you're taking 3 games off and we're going to, get you back on the beam. But they can't.
But they didn't before, right? Like, they had money before, and it was Curtis McElhinney who was fine, but he wasn't going to steal starts.
But they don't but now whether they did or didn't before, they don't now.
Yeah.
Like, they can't. And so, you know, when we're sitting here discussing whether whether the job can get done by Hutchinson or not, okay, so say, let's assume it can't. So does that mean that they're going to go find another guy that makes 750 grand that's going to be way better?
Who's that?
That's what I mean. Like, who are you going to find?
Just another guy.
Yeah, you get another guy, and you hope you catch lightning, and that other guy turns into McElhaney for a year, and then he moves on and signs somewhere else. And mm-hmm. But you know, it's not like they can go and spend $2 million or $1.5 million on a guy that can, you know, can really make a difference for them. They just don't have the room.
With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, you were there in Vancouver last night. I thought they did a pretty good job. Like, they're commemorating the 50th anniversary of the team, so it's going to be a long, drawn-out season of celebrations, and the Sedins are going to have their numbers retired. And but I thought it was pretty cool. You know, they brought some of the old players out in their unis, and a couple former captains were sitting there waiting for Bo Horvat. Like, that was a much bigger celebration than what the Maple Leafs decided to do.
I thought they did. I mean, there's lots of teams that have some kind of ceremony that they want to do, and you know, they plan it, and then it comes off and it's clunky or long or something or other. That was just about perfect last night. They pulled it off perfectly. They, you know, the first captain, Orland Kurtenbach, was there, and you know, he's 82 or 83 years old right now. He looks amazing. You know, and they had these old videos playing before, and it's kind of like that video that they have of the old Leafs things before the games, which I love. But of course, the Canucks only goes back 50 years, and you know, it's not like they've had a storied winning history, and yet there's so much connection to this team because it's all they've known out here. And then they, you know, they had the guys come out in the different jerseys from the different eras. I thought it was fantastic, really. They did a great job. And then they score 8 goals in the opener. I mean, like, it would be pretty hard to beat that.
What did you make of Drew Doughty's comments after? Is he a little bit delusional on his own team? I mean, like, just
I think he's saying, forgotten they're not the same team that won the Cups.
Like, the team like that should never beat us 8-2. I understand what he's thinking, but I just don't understand if he understands what his team is right now.
Yeah, I think there's maybe a little bit of a disconnect when they, you know, when even people are talking about the Kings. Like, you got to realize, like, those guys that won the Cups, they're not there anymore. There's like 4 of them: Martinez, Doughty, Kopitar, Brown, Carter. It's 5, quick 6, and that, you know, Clifford. Other than that, it's a bunch of guys that. Trevor Lewis is there. Oh, I guess there is a decent amount, but it's not the same
team. Man. They're old.
Yeah, they're like, God, they don't even, like, I'm telling you guys, like, last night, 2 nights ago in Calgary, they were awesome for the first half, and you're like, wow, maybe they got something. Last night, they got behind early 2-0, and LA had a couple of flurries on the power play, and Markstrom was really good, but that game never seemed like it was in doubt. Like, not even close. And I would think that LA is still going to be in the seller's market as they get, you know, towards the trade deadline. They've got a couple of players that I'm sure they would like to move as they get closer towards the March deadline.
Rasmus Dahlin has been lights out early in the year. He had, I think, 2 more assists last night. The Elias Pettersson-Rasmus Dahlin connection will be there to an extent because they're both Swedish and they both went in the same draft. But I remember having these conversations this time last year when Pettersson came out of the gate so hot and everyone was like, he's clearly the guy you take from that draft. And I was like, just pump the brakes. Like, let's see where Dahlin's going here. And I'm not saying that the jury has a verdict right now. They don't. But if the roles were reversed and Dahlin was doing what he's doing now, as a rookie, and Pettersson is out of the gate with only 1 goal through 3 games, the narrative would have been very different. And
but,
now
but
it's flipped
again. Brian, everybody wants a final decision like 3 days into something.
Exactly.
Defensemen pick
what?
It up a couple
both...
days or a couple years later, don't they, Ray?
Yeah, but Dahlin's
oh, man,
doing it
you got
now.
To.
No, I
God,
know.
God, you got to. Like, he's like, I think there's a chance they're both stars. Like, a really good chance they're both stars.
Yeah.
In a couple years, and that means that, well, you're happy with the guy you got. Like, you know, last year there was even, you know, like a late rush that everybody kind of finally realized, I guess, because it's a rookie year, and if you don't watch Dallas play a lot, you're like, oh my God, Miro Heiskanen is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like Dahlin got forgotten. And because he doesn't say anything, you know, he's just kind of goes out and does his thing, that he was forgotten. Nobody talked about him. And the same thing this year. I don't really hear anybody talking about him as among the better young players in the league. I don't know. Am I missing that? But I don't hear it.
You're right. I think a lot of it is the market.
Yeah.
You know, Buffalo gets lost a lot.
Hedman, Brian, his first couple years? And this Dahlin has been good this year, but Hedman, for two or three years, teams were calling on him every day saying, we want Hedman. And they said, no, you're not having him. And thank God they did that, because right. Look what he is now.
Mm-hmm.
So that Dahlin, you think of that guy in three or four years, he's going to be a monster. He already is. He's a monster.
Just think of if Buffalo's power, not that it could do what it's doing now all season, but if this power play keeps zipping along and Dahlin all of a sudden is sitting up near the top of defensemen scoring with 35, 40 points, you're like, oh, wait a minute. People are going to notice. Like Buffalo's better and their power play is good and they're scoring lots of goals, that means Dahlin's going to have lots to do with it and people will notice.
Yeah. Well, I think sometimes, naturally, we turn the page so quickly, we forget about the phenom from a year ago. And that's what Dahlin was. Throughout his whole draft year, there was no competition. None.
Not even close.
It was McDavid. It was the same thing. Exactly. It was like, Dahlin is going first. Don't talk to me about other players. He is going first. This guy is an absolute phenom in the making. And you lose sight of it, because then you move to the next year and you're like, oh, who's this Jack Hughes? Who's Quinn Hughes? Right? And Heiskanen is a great example. He went in the top five. Cale Makar is getting love. But don't forget about like the true hype man, and it was Dahlin.
Well, you know what? I would say the best way I can think of that is that people talk about this, you know, the old, or not an old line, but the line of draft and development. Oh, you got to draft and develop. But really what... Nobody's got the patience for that, so it's like, we want a draft, and then he better be good.
Right.
And you're like, what about the development part? And people lose their mind if they have to wait, because nobody wants to wait for anything in anything. And so that's just the way it is. You're like, oh yeah, forgot about him. He's how old is he again, 26? And you're like, no, 22.
Well,
it
Ray,
happens all the time.
All the time.
That leads into what I wanted to ask you, Ray. What do you think is better, to bring it back to Toronto, what's better for Rasmus Sandin, playing 10 to 15 minutes a night in the NHL or playing 25 to 30 in the AHL for development?
Both. Like and the reason I say that is you can get both, because he doesn't have to clear waivers. You can send him down for a month. He can play in the American League for a month, play 25 minutes. Then you can bring him back up, and he can play 15 minutes on your third pair, because he's not going to break into the first two pairs.
I think him in the NHL playing 10 to 15 is better.
How come?
Because I did it. I scored 125 points a year in junior, and I went up to the NHL, and I think I had 8 goals and 14 assists my first year, but I was better off being in the NHL.
Because you're playing?
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Oh, so hang on. So what about this, though? Oh, it's like you send him back down. He's playing big minutes. He's playing on the power play. That means he's got the puck on his stick a little more than he does in the NHL. And then you know internally. I mean, he doesn't have to know right away, but you send him down, just say, December 1st. And, you know, he's coming back December 20th.
Like, yeah.
You got, oh, that's 8 games. He's going to play this much, and then I'm bringing him back.
Well, I question why bring him back up, because if you're going to go down there and make him feel good with the puck, why is he going to come back up to be on a third player pairing and not touch the power play?
Well, but he's still going to have the puck on his stick for a couple of weeks, because right now, you know, he's not going to get any of that time.
I don't think they believe in that, Ray. I don't think they like the yo-yo kind of thing with prospects.
Well, then he's going to play 10 to 12 minutes, because he's not going to get into the top four.
No.
But so then is that better for him?
Well, it's better than the press box. I think
that's the extreme example. Or three or four minutes.
Is it better than playing 25 minutes for the Marlies?
Well, you won't know that for another 5 years. That's the truth.
But I guess that's what they're wrestling with.
Yeah.
Or what I would be wrestling with.
For sure.
Well, it's funny. I guess it comes down, you mentioned you don't think they believe in that. So it comes down a bit to a organizational philosophy. And it also comes down to, okay, if he's playing and are there games that he's creeping down? You're saying 10 to 12 minutes, but let's say it's a 3-2 game in Boston in a, you know, in a couple of weeks, mm-hmm. and they're in the third period, they've got the lead, and oh, wait a minute, he doesn't play the last 7 minutes.
That I don't agree with.
And that's what I mean. Like, you've got to commit to it. It can't be part way because he's going to end up with the short end of it.
Yeah,
and
then I actually thought it was going to be over.
Do work.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be over immediately. The first game he played, he sat on the bench for 11. I'm like, no, can't do this one. And then he got into the game, and I think he actually had an assist, and he settled in. But
well, that could be their plan, though, too, is, hey, first 10 games, ease him in. So, again, it's October for him as well, right?
Okay, but when you think of it, say it is that, you know, ease him in, and then you're going to play him more. At whose expense?
Well, that's the thing, and Dermott's going to come back soon.
Right, the minutes aren't getting more available. They're going to get less available.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I don't know how they're going to balance that with a player that clearly is a big part of their future and a guy that you're going to want to develop. Like, how do you do both at the same time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can't. I mean, let's be honest. He's not going to play 25 minutes a night in the NHL, nor should he. He's not ready to do that. But the question is, you know, is he better off with sheltered minutes against third and fourth liners, ideally in the NHL, or top liners in the AHL?
Yeah.
And I would argue third and fourth liners in the NHL are significantly better than top liners in the AHL. It's a different style of game. You know, the top liner in the AHL is going to try a lot more and be a little bit more creative, potentially. But I don't know.
The coach has to buy in that this is what's happening. Right, the coach can't all of a sudden start playing him 12 minutes a night, and then 8 minutes a night, and then gee, had a bad game and he's out of the lineup. And the toughest thing for coaches in this league is they all say we want to develop our players, but what they really want to do is win. and so if development takes a back seat, well, that's the way it goes because I get a win.
Well, we know Riley, Muzzin, and Barry are staying in that top four all year. Do you think CC is definitely staying there all year?
Well, unless there's a train wreck. I mean, who's going to take his place?
Well, Dermott, I think, should have that opportunity. But
and then you get into the left-sider stuff again, right?
Yeah, you do. And Babcock is committed to that.
You know, he loves himself some left-hand, right-hand defenseman.
He sure does. Loves
him. That's a little bit of a and the other thing I would say about Dermott that we'll have to keep in mind when he comes back is he hasn't played since last year. He's got no camp and all that stuff. It's going to take him a little bit of time to to get moving a bit here. And so he comes back and I don't know what's the 1st of November they're sort of expecting him.
I think it's going to be sooner based on how he's practicing. But
okay, so let's give him the 20th of October, somewhere around there. Then all of a sudden you're 3 weeks now. You're into kind of mid-November-ish before he's really kind of close to being back on it. And how soon are they going to make a decision on that? Like, when can he start to push for minutes? And there's a lot of complications, I guess, that go into all these decisions. And one of them is going to be future health of the rest of the guys. Like, we're talking about whether Sandin can do this, that, or the other thing. Can he handle these guys? And what if somebody gets hurt? And then there's going to be more minutes available. Maybe that plays into where he's going to get to play.
There's also the cap, which is a problem.
Right.
Yeah. It always comes back to the cap.
Isn't it? It's almost sad, Brian, what you just say.
Mm-hmm. It should just be a luxury tax. Then it would be less hard rules.
Well, I have thought over the last couple of years is there should be some kind of mechanism that allows you to at least retain your own guys or to take one salary and put it in a franchise type player or something like that. Like, because right now it's becoming that you can't cross the street without talking about the cap, and I don't think it's helpful.
I don't think
it's helpful for the game at all.
No, it's annoying for everybody. That's not a Toronto thing. That's every team in the league. For the most part. All right, buddy. Well, a bunch of good games tonight, and the one in Toronto should be a blast, so we'll break it down tomorrow at 5.
You betcha. Talk to you then, boys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.